Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. This is a verse that's in the midst of Paul's discussion with the church at Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper. And this is one of the final verses that he gives to us in this. It says simply, Paul writes these words in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we spend a great deal of time, and rightfully so, talking about the bread and the cup. But one of the things that's always fascinated me about the supper is not just the observance of the bread and the cup and the purpose of it being the broken bread and the new covenant in his blood, but the admonition that's found in this verse, that we're to do this, so that we can proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You want to excite a congregation of people, preach on the second coming. Because we're all looking forward to it. We all want it to happen. I have a whole file full of information that people send me from time to time telling me about certain fulfilled prophecies in Israel. And one of my favorite articles is that they searched over a red heifer a few years ago. And they thought they had found a pure red heifer, and they found one gray hair in it. So the Jews were all upset because they have had this one gray hair, didn't have a red heifer. I don't know. I've been around cattle a little bit. I think if I was looking out there and all I could find was one, I think I'd call it a red heifer. Now, it's just that simple. Now, you say, what's your point? The point is, we're all interested in the varying events that we think's leading to the Lord's return. And I'm as interested as anyone else is in that particular thing. But one of the things that I find intriguing is this verse that I've read to you. And last Sunday night, we observed the Lord's Supper and we celebrated that. You say, well, okay, then why are you preaching on this Sunday since you've already done it? Because I want us to be reminded of what I think is an extremely important principle in our lives. We're going to take the Lord's Supper again and again and again and again until he comes. See, I think that's essential in what we do. I think it's essential that we understand our responsibility in proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So this morning I'm simply going to talk about three very simple things in this verse. I'm going to talk about the Lord's death. I'm going to talk about proclaiming it. And then we're going to look at the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the most important essentials that we will ever know and understand on this side of eternity is the power of the Lord's death. We cannot overemphasize that enough. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There was a world in need of a Savior, and Jesus in eternity with the Father looked down and saw and said that when Adam fell and sin entered into the world, Jesus said, "I'll go and I'll satisfy the debt. I'll take care of the problem." That's how much Jesus loves us. And you say, well, preacher, we've gone to church all our lives. We know this part. I don't think we know it enough. I don't think we know it enough because we're not sharing it enough with the people that we know and understand. You say, well, what do you mean? If that's the case, this building would be packed out. We all know people who don't know the Lord. We all have acquaintances that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So we need to understand that the power of his death is to save all who will believe. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they know who Jesus is. And folks, it takes more than holding up a John 3:16 sign at a football game. Now, I don't have a problem one with doing that. If you want to put John 3:16 on the black under your eyes at a football game, I don't care. But it takes more than that to get the message of Jesus Christ to those who need it. And there are thousands upon thousands of friends and neighbors who need to understand who Jesus is and what he did. We look at the cross and we see the agony and the pain of the cross. But I want to remind you of something. It wasn't nails or ropes that held Jesus to the cross. It was his commitment to the sovereign will of his Father. That's what kept Jesus on that cross. It was his love for each and every one of us that kept him on that cross. And then when he gave up the ghost, and that's exactly what he did, nobody killed Jesus. He gave his own life for each and every one of us. He went into that empty tomb and he was buried there, and 3 days later he came forth. And he paid our sin debt. God looked, according to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, God looked at the suffering of his soul and God was satisfied. The payment was made in full. And when Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, according to Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, he had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no reason for a child of God to fear today anything. Because the worst thing that can happen to us is heaven. No matter what happens to us in this life, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are going to heaven. What a comfort. What a joy. The power of his death, we need to know that. We need to understand it. Secondly, we need to be willing to proclaim it. I had a good friend of mine last night, about 10 o'clock, texted me. And the text simply read, "Sorry about your Cardinals. You can be a Cubs fan through the postseason." I texted him back, "Not on your life. I'll root for Houston." You see, he was so thankful. I don't know if he was more thankful that the Cubs won or I lost. The Cardinals lost. I don't know. But you see, here's my point. He was proclaiming something that meant something to him, even though it might have been rather trivial in all of life. But we like to kind of pick at one another over things like that. Now, let me ask you something. Does your relationship with Jesus Christ mean enough to you that you're willing to share it with someone else? That you're willing to tell them what Jesus did for you? We're to preach the gospel. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 28, Luke 24, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1. We are to be those witnesses, those people who proclaim who Jesus is, because Jesus has saved our souls, that Jesus has allowed us not only to escape hell, but also to live for him on a day-to-day basis. I always go back to Luke chapter 24 with the disciples on the road to Emmaus while they were there, and when they finally realized who Jesus was, the statement is made in the Bible, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Were we not ready and eager and anxious to share that message with someone else? Today's my youngest grandson's birthday. Let me assure you, 5 years ago today, I didn't have any problem telling anybody he'd been born. I did it again today, didn't I? You see, I'm thankful for that. It's a message I want out there for all of my grandchildren and children. I'm thankful for them. then why am I not thankful enough by having been born again to tell others what's happened to me? To share that when my family is saved, when I have friends that are saved, are we not willing to go out and say, look, here's what God did today. God took a reprobate soul and washed them in the blood of his own son, and now they are God's child. Isn't that a wonderful piece of news? Isn't that a marvelous thing? Then let's share that with those around us. Let's make sure that they understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. He wants us to do it that way. We don't just have to tell Jesus' story the way we see it. We can tell it according to the scripture. And that'll change people's lives like nothing ever before. We're to preach Christ and him crucified. I read a story many years ago about a church in Great Britain. Beautiful little country church out. They had a nice arbor that had been built and a nice archway over the arbor. And on the top of the sign on the archway, it said, "We preach Christ crucified." After the passage of a number of years, the vines and the flowers around the arbor had grown, and it just simply said, we preach Christ instead of Christ crucified. Then a few years later, it's just, we preach. Then a few years later, it's all covered up. Let's not let that happen to us. Let's make sure that when people hear the word Spring Creek Baptist Church, they understand that what's going to happen is they're going to come to church and they're going to hear Christ preached crucified. But not only crucified, but buried and risen again. And then this brings us to the whole essence of the sermon today. Crucified, buried, risen, but coming again. Because you see, we continue to observe baptism as an ordinance and the Lord's Supper as an ordinance. And that Lord's Supper allows us to tell the world that Jesus of Nazareth is coming again. That Jesus has changed our hearts. Jesus has changed our lives. And that we are willing to proclaim that message to the rest of the world. So the last thing that I want to talk about today is, do we have a heart that's ready for the Lord's return? Now, folks, think about that question. That's not a simple question. It's got lots of complexities in it. Are we ready for Jesus to return? Are you ready for unexpected company today? What would you do this afternoon about 1:30? You go to the door and there's four people with suitcases. Said, "Hello, cousin, how are you today? Hadn't seen you in a while." "Yeah, what do you want?" As if the suitcases didn't give it away. Oh, unexpected company with suitcases. Wouldn't that be interesting? Any of you have to clean your house? Don't answer that. What would you have to do to get ready? Had to go buy groceries? If Jesus came today, is your heart ready? Or is there unconfessed sin that needs to be washed away? Is your heart ready? You've told everybody that you know who Jesus is. Everybody that you know that's lost, they've heard the gospel from you. You've made sure your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews know who Jesus Christ is. You've prepared your heart. In the passages in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul tells the church at Corinth how to prepare itself to receive the supper. First of all, you do it as a church. And then he tells them the meaning of it. Then he warns us not to do it unworthily. But he gives us all of these instructions. and that we're to do it until he comes. So that's the question, is we've done it. He's not back yet. So are we ready if he returns? Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 tells us a very interesting thing. The disciples were there with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. And they were standing there, and they asked a question. When are you going to establish your kingdom? When are you coming back? And God tells them the most interesting thing, or Jesus does. Only the Father knows when I'm coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, I would love, and my men's Bible study class on Thursdays, they're so tired of me saying this. I don't have a timeline for you, okay? Now, you may own three or four, but I guarantee you, if you've got a timeline that says Jesus returns right here, it's wrong. You say, how do you know? Because only the Father knows. Me and you don't, all right? You say, but we can be prepared. That's what this sermon's about, is being ready, having our heart ready and prepared. We know Jesus as our Savior. We followed him in baptism. We're serving him to the best of our ability, and we want and pray for him to come back. But let me remind you of a warning. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. All right? There's not a security system in the world that will detect him. Only your heart being ready. Ladies and gentlemen, when that trumpet blows, you're not going to have 30 minutes to repent. When that trumpet sounds, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All right? You won't even have time to put your socks on. Here's what I want us to understand. Is your heart prepared today? Is it ready for Jesus to come? You say, well, preacher, let's talk about that. You know, when's the man of sin coming? Who the two witnesses going to be? Is the abomination of desolation taking place? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you do not, this is the moment. This is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Prepare yourself right now. Now, Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Thessalonians the first time, they misunderstood some things. They thought Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. So he writes 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, he says, no, man of sin's got to show up first. And then God's going to send a delusion and a lie, and people are going to believe that. There's things that are going to happen. You say, do you believe Jesus is coming back? Absolutely, with all my heart. And I'm going to be ready for him when he shows up. I used to tell my students at seminary, one of the most fascinating things that always happened in the whole 25 years I taught school is that first-year students knew exactly when Jesus was coming back. Fifth-year students didn't care. They just wanted out of school. All right. Now, they were ready, but they just wanted out of school. But it's amazing how many people think we know when Jesus is coming back, but we don't. But what we do know is the thing that Jesus warned us about in the 25th chapter of Matthew, right after the parable of the virgins, and that is that it's time for us to watch and be ready. Be alert. Paul tells us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the first 11 verses. He says we're children of the day, not children of the night. We're to be ready. We're to be prepared. We're to be anticipating his return. Now, if you sometime want to sit down and talk with me or others or come to our men's Bible study and find out all of the details of all of this, you're welcome to come. But let me tell you how you're going to leave. You're still not going to know when he's coming. What you're going to know is that it's time to be ready for his return. I look and I watch all the current events that's in our world today, and I am amazed of how close we're coming and how close we are. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Until he comes, we have a responsibility. Until he comes, we're commanded to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are commanded to make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them. We are commanded to do these things. How long? Until Jesus comes. That's the purpose of the supper. When we see the supper and we see it from quarter to quarter when we take it, or we observe it and we watch others take it, we're to understand that this is a reminder. You and I have a responsibility until Jesus comes back. And that responsibility is to make sure that we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Folks, that's why we have church. That's why we worship together. That's why we come together in spirit and in truth, and we listen to the songs. It's so that we can walk out those doors with encouragement in our hearts and lift it up, so that when the world attacks us this week and we see all the things the devil throws at us, we can say, I'm going to do this till Jesus comes. Jesus is in my heart and he lives within me, and I'm going to tell other people how to be born again. I'm going to tell other people what they need to do. I'm going to show other people, not only with my words but by the way I live, the difference that Jesus of Nazareth makes in my heart and makes in my life. And I want to live until he comes in a manner and a way that brings honor and glory to Almighty God. You see, when we understand that, we understand this passage. We understand that we're showing the Lord's death and we're proclaiming it. And literally the word proclaim means to declare openly. To declare it without reservation. To declare it distinctly. There's an old character in the comic strip Dick Tracy called Mumbles. I don't know if you remember him or not. Some of you never read a Dick Tracy comic strip. You have an Apple Watch, which comes from Dick Tracy. But you don't understand Dick Tracy. But Mumbles couldn't be understood. He mumbled all the time. Don't mumble about Jesus. Make it clear. Make it plain. Make it understandable. Let people know how much he's changed your life. The difference that he's made in your life each and every day. It is my hope. It is my prayer today that we will be willing to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our responsibility as a church. That's our responsibility as an individual, to make sure that people know the Lord. My question to you this morning is very simple. Do you know him? You say, well, yeah, preacher, I've been saved. I come to church. Are you ready for his return? Are you prepared? Is your heart and relationship with God in that place and position it needs to be for Jesus to come? You say, well, when's he coming? When the Father sends him. You say, when's that? I ain't got a clue. But I'm telling you this, you better be ready. Because he's coming as a thief in the night. You better be prepared. Because he's coming. One last thing. At the end of the book of Revelation, when John is finished with all of his prophecy, John utters one of the most fantastic verses and comments in all the Bible. In verse 20 of Revelation 22, John says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Okay? Then John does the unthinkable. John says, come on down, Lord Jesus. You say, no, that's on Price is Right. No. John's words here are intensive. They're exciting. John wants Jesus to come. Do we pray, come on down, Lord Jesus? We can if our heart's ready. Is yours?